Colossians chapter 3. Tell me when you got it. I want to start with verse 16. Colossians 3 verse 16. Now last week I mentioned that we've been doing a series on spiritual battle and spiritual warfare. And I mentioned last week many times the greatest battle we have is right here in our mind. How many agree with me? I mean, sometimes the enemy just sees attacks in those areas. And when our mind and our emotions are working together, it causes us to act. Has anybody here ever acted out before? How many ever had a moment of temporary insanity and you're like, what am I doing? Okay. How many ever look back and go, what was I thinking? Anybody here? And how many have learned not to make that mistake again? Okay, that's the true teacher. If you keep making that one, come on. No, we're not going around that mountain one more time. But thanks be to God that we just don't get an empty head when we get saved. We can have the mind of Christ, which makes us more brilliant than anything you could ever imagine. Can you imagine one day just sitting down with Jesus and just talking to Him face to face like I'm talking to you? Won't that be glorious? That He will come over and see you. The Bible says in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Wherever that is in heaven, man, the Lord's going to come by one day. Isn't that cool? It's going to be fun to walk in with some of these great guys like Moses and Joshua. And you're going to be there too when you walk by. It isn't just the big names that we have. Anybody who overcomes by the blood of the Lamb is special in heaven. When you think about how many people don't know Him, I appreciate Ron's testimony. He said a couple of people got saved downtown at Hugs. That's another souls in the kingdom, amen? How many knows one person matters? The truth is that I like the honesty too. We don't have to puff up the numbers either. We don't have to lie in the kingdom. If two people get saved, that's good. Come on. I struggle when people say, 30 people got saved. No, two got saved. That's good. Say amen. We don't need to lie about it. God doesn't need to pad the numbers. In Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. What's the word there? What does richly mean to you? It means a lot. Full, true? It means in abundance, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It's okay to have a song in your heart to God. It's okay to tell Him how wonderful He is outside of church. Come on. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So when it comes to the mind, we need to have the word going in there. If the word is going in, it's starting to transform. I want you to know that one word of God will combat a whole lot of things of this world. You got saved because of the word of God. You're kept by the word of truth. Well, we need to keep that in our minds. If our mind is just empty or idle, I'm here to tell you, you'll start to think about all kinds of things. Am I being truthful? See, we need that mind of Christ, that rich part, and say, Lord, filter that. Lord, bring it through and start to wash out. Well, I've learned this, that what comes in your mind and your heart eventually will come out of your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean you don't slip every now and then. How many ever slipped after you got saved? How many ever said something like, oh, you caught yourself, like, man, I can't believe that's still in there. I need to root that out. But the difference is you're starting to recognize it. Before you were saved, you just let everything flow out of there. So there's starting to be a change in you. But when the word of Christ is starting to be rich in you, it starts to come out. And one of the areas that it'll start to do, it'll start to change your song. Oh, that's good preaching. Our song starts to change because our love relationship is different. We need to have a song unto our God. Listen, you could be at work. You could be singing in your car. You can have a time that you can sing unto Him. Amen? I take the songs from Sunday and I sing them throughout the week. You know what I found out? If my wife sings a few verses of a song, I'll find myself in about 5 minutes singing the same song. How many of us we need that? Come on, we've already heard enough in this world. I want to live my life pleasing unto God. Notice it says this, teaching with wisdom, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Well, we need that. Those spiritual songs to come through. Amen? I need a water here. Is there one up here somewhere? Yeah. That's the only problem with having communion and speaking. That little bit is all that it takes. It caught my throat. Now notice here it says, singing with grace in your heart to who? Do you think the Lord hears you when you sing? So we're not singing unto man. Now let's move this away. What if every worship service we come in, I don't care who hears, I'm singing unto God. Because I'm singing unto Him. That makes it, if everything crashes here, the instruments don't play, the sound goes out, no one can sing, I can sing unto my God. Because I'm not singing unto man. Now, could you amplify that? What if all of a sudden you're in heaven, and I don't know how many people are going to be there. I really don't. I hope there's billions upon billions. I really do. But could you imagine if 1 billion people sang the same song, what that would sound like? How many think that would be pretty awesome? And what if you had a voice, not so much like mine, a joyful noise, but what if you could hold that note as long as you needed to? I mean, that'd be pretty awesome. How would you like to see Him on that throne, high and lifted up, and that we sing, "How great you are"? How many think that power would reverberate, that strength there? Do you see, there's where we're going. This is just a forerunner to what's the reality. That in my heart, I will sing unto Him forever and ever and ever. That's how great He is. So when I look at it, I have to start transforming even my joy song now. Amen? And it starts by transforming this mind. My old thinking needs to go away. Come on. My old thinking is that area that's of the flesh. In Romans 12:2, you know the verse. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Transformation happens when this becomes renewed. And it's not hard. Come on. Trash in, trash out. Pure Word of God in starts to wash all that other stuff out. Amen? It truly is like a bucket and a filter. You start off, you come to God, your bucket is dirty and nasty and no one wants to drink from it, neither do you. But when you get saved, He takes that and He dumps it out. And He starts to filter it through the blood of Christ. And what I've learned is that my spirit gets right, but the rest of it takes time and regeneration. But as I renew my mind, it's like taking that bucket to that bucket with a filter. It got a little more pure, it got a little more pure, it got a little more pure, and I keep dumping it and changing it, dumping it and changing it. Fresh water, fresh, you know what, sooner or later, it becomes pure. How many want that? I want to have it in such a way that I don't even think evil. Now, I know that old carnal nature works in there, but I'm not entertaining those thoughts. Are you with me? I mean, those children, when they're newborns and they're growing up, if you keep their heart and mind, I mean, there's an innocence there. It's kind of refreshing, isn't it? It seems like the children today lose their innocence so quickly today. Well, why can't we be just like that, but with maturity? Why can't we be like harmless as doves? But why is it serpents? Why can't we have that in our lives? Why can't we have that purity? We already know about sin. I'm not going there, but living our life right. All of you can tell when you've spent time with the Lord. It makes a difference in your life, true? I mean, it makes a difference what you do, where you go. Well, what about a person that's renewing their mind in the Word? You start to speak differently. Amen? Well, why not have a dream about witnessing to somebody? How about have a dream of heaven seeing the glory of God? Why can't we have those type of dreams instead of the nightmares? Instead of, oh, I'm preaching now. Why can't I have a great time in my dream time? Amen? To do battle, listen to me, to think right, we got to resist thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, how are you going to know that if you don't know the Word? But when you know the Word, you can start to resist those, and you have to. Sometimes you got to put a foot down saying, no, I'm not thinking this. It can happen even in service. In James 4:7 says this, resist the devil and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will what? He'll flee. Well, what about those thoughts that try to come in? No, I'm not thinking that way. I'm not, no, in the name of Jesus. How about it is written? If you're taking notes in 1 Peter 5 verse 9, resist him, talking about Satan, steadfast in the faith. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Now, has anybody ever heard a bad report that kind of ruined your day? Let me see your hand. How many ever thought about it and it kind of lingered even through the night? Did it linger into the next day? How many ever had somebody attack you with their words? Say all manner of evil against you. It says in Ezra that the enemy attacks you, he tries to weaken your hands. I mean, that's a real reality. He tries to bring an accusation against you. That's a reality. Those things are real. We have to stand firm in God's promises. How about an unholy union? That'll weaken what God wants to do. So, Lord, let me have what you want. Then I'm not going to have an empty mind. I'm going to have a mind filled with Christ. What if you could be like Jesus on this planet? Would that be a great thing? Yes or no? See, the world tries to make it seem like it's so foolish or no power. Man, to be like Christ is the best thing you could ever be. Ladies, if some guy could love you like Jesus, would that be a good thing in your life? Then pray for him. And next thing is, you don't have to accept everything that comes down the pike either. Come on, step up. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. In our house, we run deep conviction. We'll say stuff like, that sounds like Jesus. Oh, Lord, amen. Boy, that's the mind of Christ coming out of you. Amen. There's a lot of faith coming out of you right now. How many does it kind of get you right where you need to be? How many knows if you're crabby and somebody preaches at you, that's the last thing you want to do? Yes or no? I don't want to hear that. But the truth is that when our mind starts to be renewed, then spiritual things become a joy. It should never be a drudgery to come to church. If it is, check your flesh. Check your flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to serve the Lord. Your flesh doesn't want to go those things. But if in your mind and your heart you're saying, I'm there, then you know what? A little bit of snow isn't going to stop you. Amen? To think right, we need to set that guard in place. In 1 Peter 1:13, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace which brought the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who'd ever think we'd live in a day where you have to buy insurance to protect your identity? Come on. Think about it. That's this day and age there is today. That now it's so relevant. And let's face it, we all saw it coming. It's just we didn't do anything about it. How many medical records have been thrown in dumpsters? Oh, I can preach that. Come on. How many businesses have thrown out personal information? The truth is it's all out there. Well, now look at it. With a way to look up everything on your phone, you have your whole world in your hand. You can look up anything, anytime, anywhere. You can compare shopping. You can shop. You can do whatever. But it hasn't transformed this. Lord, I need to transform this. There are certain things that God will have. Your eyes and your ear gates are what's going to feed your spirit. But you also have to put a guard on that too. No, I'm not listening to that. There are certain movies I won't watch because I don't need a nightmare. And I don't need to fight that if I'm fighting demonic realms anyways. Amen? And if you ever notice, a movie can be good, but there's always that one scene. True? Like, why did they have to put that in there? True? And it's okay to walk out of a theater if it's bad. You don't have to endure. Amen? To think right, we need to stir up pure thoughts. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Many of you know this verse. Philippians 4 verse 8. It isn't a matter of just having a mindless Christianity. It's starting to think on what is pure. We'll start to think on those things and start to still them in there. If you wanted some joy, how about some great memories? Does anybody have one, at least one? Nobody has one good memory in here. Oh, okay, well, today's going to be a good one. You can think about Sunday service. In Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure,
lovely, of good report. If there's any virtue or anything of praise, think or meditate on these things. So I need to have my mind not inactive, but engaged. Well, that's you can think of some things that are good. Amen? How about some things that are holy? Well, think about somebody at service. Do you care about anybody? Thank God for them. How many of that can occupy your mind? I think we need to make it a quest to think about other people. To pray for them. Say, you know what, I'm praying for you. I encourage you. Amen? Can we do that, church? That means it's more than just a Sunday encounter. We're saying, you know what? You matter. I'm going to think on these things. What's a praiseworthy? Lord, I thank you. I thank God for the saints that have already went up there. I really do. How current heaven is. And believe me, if you have any relatives that are up there in heaven, we've had some saints go up there. They're going to tell them all about you. Ah, they're doing great. They're a faithful servant of God. Wouldn't that be something you'd want to hear? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no? If you were there, wouldn't you want to hear a word like, man, they're serving the Lord, they're faithful serving God? That would bring another great praise to the Lord in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Well, we need to have that. When me and Mark were talking, I appreciate Mark. Mark's been a faithful man for many years. I've known Mark forever. And you know what? Don't have a testimony that when you breathe your last, well, I don't know if they were saved or not. I kind of hope they were. Don't have that testimony. Have that testimony, yeah, I was faithful. Even if it's for a short time, you were faithful. Now, what's just, pure, and holy, think on those things. Well, then I need to have a transfer from all this that was evil, because there's not much good in this world. Yes or no? There's not much good in this world but Christ Jesus and then the people of the Lord. It's okay to thank God for your family. Even those that don't know the Lord, I thank God for them. I do. But I pray for them that they get saved. I want them to know. I want to see them eternally. I really do. Well, when I look at it, if my mind is set on these things, how about something that's praiseworthy? Think on that. If there be any praise in that, think on that. Now, I've had some years of working with young people, and every now and then I have a flashback of a memory of something somebody did, something broke, something whatever. Amen? When it comes to young people, they'll give you a whole volumes to speak. As good as well as bad. One time we broke an elevator in a hotel. Yes, it was bad. It was the only elevator in the whole hotel. One of the guys thought it would be so fun to open up the doors as just when it was coming about to close. And he had jarred the doors so it stuck between the floors. So I get a call. Pastor Tom, would you come down to the counter, what do you want to call that area? I said, yeah. I pressed the elevator button. It didn't come anywhere. So I waited. So I took the steps. So I get down at the bottom, and would you mind coming over here, sir? When somebody calls you sir, you're in trouble. And I look, and sure enough, the elevator's jacked between the floors. I'm like, oh. Say amen. How many knows there's no praiseworthy in that? Now, how many knows that there isn't a student on the planet that's going to confess who did that? So Pastor Tom has to go into super interrogation Holy Ghost mode. He has to isolate everybody that I know that wouldn't do it, that couldn't do it. And then all of a sudden I finally say, well, it's you guys. I know that. Now, which one of you guys are going to confess up? I said, listen, if you'll confess up and be honest, there won't be any charge to you. We'll fix the elevator and we'll go on. So I made it real open and says, look, I just want to know who did it, who be honest. I isolated down to five different guys. And one guy finally said, I did it. I'm wrong. I said, well, why'd you do that? Oh, we thought it'd be fun. I said, you messed up the elevator for everybody else. And I seen people grumbling as they're bringing their suitcases down the... Say amen, especially when you got those 90-pounders. I said, listen, you just can't do this. This is not good, all right? We'll pay the bill. We'll pay that. They've got a repair person in there. They sent me the bill. Say amen. It wasn't cheap either. But I said, Lord, I'm not going to let it ruin the whole time. So I drew the guy aside. I said, listen, we just can't do this. And now here's what you're going to do. First of all, you're going to apologize to the place here. The owner is here. You're going to apologize to him first and tell him you were wrong. Say amen. Then you're going to apologize to everyone who comes from that elevator here. You're going to stand there. And you're going to apologize to all those people that are coming down this till that elevator's fixed. Ooh, that's bogue. Say amen. And then after that, you're going to apologize to the whole group for being a knucklehead. Now, what's that got to do with any praise? How many knows there's a lot of praise in that? You're going to learn a lesson by what you did wrong. Amen? And you know what? The gentleman did it. And I said, this, you're going to tell your parents when they showed up what you did too. Now, how many think mom and dad will handle it better than I can? Especially if mom and dad care. Yes? So the dad was real apologetic, picked up your son and said, listen, don't worry about it. I think he's learning a lesson. And I guarantee you, he won't do that again. And then for about the next 2 weeks, I would see him in service. And I saw a change in him. I saw for the first time that he had to fess up to his responsibilities as a young man. And he became really what you would call a noble citizen. I saw a total something happened in there by facing up. How many of those are some praiseworthy things? Can you think about that later? Lord, thank you for that opportunity. Yes, you can. So think about your life. What has the Lord done? If there be any praise or virtue, think on these. Because now you're starting to put your heart in your mind. You're starting to entertain what is right. Amen? To think right, you need to be fully persuaded. In Romans 14, verse 5, one person esteems a day above another. Some people have it the same. But we must be fully convinced in our mind. I am fully convinced there is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I realize that sin has affected all of us and death came by sin. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that I have sinned in my lifetime. But now I know Christ. And when you're fully persuaded, you can't be persuaded otherwise. The enemy always tries to bring in half doubts. Let me say this to you. If there's any time the enemy's going to try to make Jesus not real, it's now. Because when you weren't saved, you're doing your own thing. The enemy had you captivated. He'll just try to keep you from the love of God. But once you get saved, he bombards your mind. He tries to get you away. He tries to stumble you up. He tries to make it seem like it's not important. Well, it's very important. But when you're fully persuaded, you know what? Your yes is yes and your no is no. Isn't that the way to live? Amen? Come on. No means what? No. I mean, you can be fully persuaded. Well, it's that way when I come to church, I'm going. Amen? If I'm not here, there's a problem. Come look for me. Maybe my cars need some assistance. Now, Jeff has had to bail me out before. My truck one time had this thing called a cam sensor. Messed up and engine quit. Just went, brrr. Pull over to the side of the road. And I said, who can I call to come? Well, Jeff, I know he's not far behind. Hey, Jeff! So Jeff sat with me on the side of the expressway for, I don't know, an hour or so. And when I called the tow place, they thought, here's where I'm at. I'm in this city. And they think, well, it's really snowing there right now. Honest to God, I looked outside. No, it's about 60 out here. There's no snow. No. Our forecasts say it's snow. I'm like, where are you looking at? And someplace in the Rocky Mountains. You know, it's that little number on your card there. And I'm like, wait a minute. I live in Michigan. Oh, so I had to wait another 20 minutes for them to figure that out. And then they finally showed up, towed my vehicle, amen. But me and Jeff had a good time on the side of the road. True? Now, I mean, just being with Jeff's always interesting, amen? It's never just normal. It's, amen? Because Jeff will chide you. You run out of gas, didn't service it, he'll figure out something wrong, amen? I like Jeff. But you can think on those things. Is there a good memory you can have? Sew it in. It's okay to laugh today. Amen. Amen? Cherish the relationships that are here. Because they'll continue on up. Sometimes we guard our hearts so much that we keep ourselves out there. No one can come. No, let some of that guard down. You make yourself vulnerable. Yes, you're open to get hurt. But hopefully not in the house. But open up again. Too many times we've been slammed shut. Amen? Is this good this morning? Man, to start to renew this area, to start to think on what's right. don't entertain evil works. Don't entertain them. In Matthew 7, verse 17, every good tree bears forth good fruit, but a bad tree bears forth. You can look at somebody's life and tell what they're producing. I don't care what's coming out. They can say Jesus is Lord all they want. What fruit are they producing? If you're a good tree, you produce good fruit. That's biblical. But a bad tree produces something that's bad. And you know none of you want to eat a naughty looking apple. Amen? How many ever grabbed a banana, opened it up, and all of a sudden it's brown and squishy? It may be good for a pie, but man, I don't really want that. Okay? Now, this may sound gross. Has anyone ever ate a worm in an apple before? I did. As gross as that seems, half of it was left in that apple, and I was so grossed out. Protein. I'm like, ah! I just, you know, just too late, all right? It's there. I remember riding my motorcycle one time. Bug shot right down my throat. And when it hits you at that speed, anybody who's a rider knows exactly what you're talking about. It jolts you, it jams the back of your throat, and you cough for about 20 minutes. Amen? It's like getting hit in the eye without glasses on. Shut your mouth as you ride. There you go. That's all you need to know. Amen? It says this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. These men also who resist are corrupt of the truth, have corrupted minds, and disproved concerning the faith. Many times when opposition arises against you, many times there's a spirit behind that. Moses had to deal with two gentlemen that always resisted him, but they were reprobates of the truth. It isn't worth arguing about Scripture. Speak the truth and let it go. It's like arguing with a drunk, you cannot win. Let him sober up and you'll see something. Amen? But my wrath doesn't work the righteousness of God. So by yelling about a truth still doesn't penetrate anymore. You let it go. Jesus spoke the truth in love. Now, they may get fired up because you're speaking the truth, but just let the word work. You're not the Holy Spirit. You're just the messenger. You're not the Savior. He is. Just speak the truth in love. But if I'm so preoccupied in my own heart and mind, I'm not even thinking about people or even spiritual truths. Lord, let me have the mind of Christ wherever I go. Amen? If the Lord prompts you to witness, He'll empower you to share. So don't get all freaked out. Well, I got to witness today. No, just go about your day. You feel prompted to share? Holy Spirit, give me boldness. Lord, let me open my mouth boldly. You'll fill it. Because if you think about it, if he's prompting you to witness, he's already working on the other person. You're just a servant that came along. And can you imagine if the church as a whole became obedient to the gospel? I believe people would be witnessed to 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. Jesus is the best kept secret, true? And just because you jam a whole bunch of people in an assembly doesn't mean it's powerful workings. Amen? Come on, to think right, we need to keep it spiritual. Our conversations can end up fleshly. That doesn't mean you can't talk about other things. Don't get me wrong. But when we talk about flesh and carnality, like me and Elliot had this conversation. Listen, if we're going to enter into worship, we can't be jamming secular tunes and expect Jesus to go, yeah. Come on. We have to keep it spiritual. We ask the Holy Spirit to come, but then we don't have an environment for Him to even reside. And anyone who's spiritual in the assembly will start to detect, hey man, what's up with that? For many of us, we've been set free from some of that. I don't need to hear that again. Oh, I can preach that. Then what are you saved from? If that's the reality, then what are you saved from? Then it's no different. There needs to be different. There needs to be light and darkness. We become light in the world. Amen? In Ephesians 5:19, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the only time it's good that you can talk to you. Lord, I just thank you. You're a wonderful God. I'm going to speak unto you in psalm. Then I want this psalm to go right to the very throne of God. Amen? My mother got a good glimpse of that when she was dying in hospital. She says, God's opened up my ears. She says, I can hear the most beautiful music you've ever heard in your life. He goes, I can hear the singing. And she said this. In her weakened state, my mom died of pancreatic cancer. She said, as I lift my voice and just love on him, it ascends into heaven. And those that are there, when it cascades past their ears, they join in too. Isn't that so cool? It isn't limited. Your worship isn't limited here. It goes. It extends to the very throne of grace. I thought that was pretty flat awesome. Amen? Then every idle word is accounted for. The Lord, let my words be filled with what is right. You're not only praising, you're praising your king. They're in the midst of the king. Then I'm going to let it arise. Jesus said, if you don't speak out, these don't praise, the rocks will cry out. This planet needs to cascade to the king how worship and how well he is. Amen. I have to close here. And last here, we need to pray through. Sometimes you got to just pursue after love. You got to just push on through. No, today, if you got a battle in your mind, don't stop until you got some victory. Push on through. Amen. If this is weighing you down, don't let it ruin your day. That day they broke that elevator, in the natural, I was bummed. I knew it was going to cost me thousands. But you know what? My wrath wasn't going to change the fact that it was broken. True? And I didn't want to have a weekend that was ruined either. Can anyone say amen? How many ever had to just go, well, can't change it now. Lord, we're going to get through this. Amen? So you battle every thought. Push on through. You'll get victory. How many want to think what is right and holy and true? As your homework today, I want you to sow Philippians 4:8 in your spirit. Get it down in there so you can quote that area and live that out. Amen? Is God good? Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, we want to have the mind of Christ in every situation. Lord, we know the enemy comes to attack our thinking process. But Lord, we're going to put that which is good and holy in there. We're going to battle out that which we don't need, and we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God. Lord, now bless your people with strength, traveling mercies upon. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time this morning. Have a great evening. We will see you soon.